some Blackhawks news today, and I'll get into that before 7 o'clock. Some adjustments to the Shoot the Puck event that they do during the game. And I am responsible for a safety measure that is now part of that. But they have decided to tweak some things that have been going on during that segment. And I'll, like I said, discuss that. Tom Skilling is coming up right after the pre-recorded opening. And Leslie is here with stuff. David Hochberg, who apparently is still not satisfied with his airtime, said, can I come back at 3:30 and talk some more? And I thought, well, he is my Dickie Muff Daddy. And what we'll do during that segment, we're looking for the next item to give away in the line of muffs and Dickies and umbrellas and sweatshirts. So maybe you, the listener, can suggest some things. And David will hopefully finance those, and our friend Rick Dano will make them out at Midwest Promotion Group. He should stir things up just to see how the heck we got in this situation.
Shut up!
From the WGN Tower!
Remember, you're all a big part of the show. We're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have a good time. All right, here we go. This is exciting, isn't it?
He's down on the phone.
In 5, 4, 3, 2...
Now let us imagine that you're in the middle of your program.
You must identify your station.
You might say
WGN.
.FM. Right here. Here.
Good afternoon, San Diego and Bridgeview. Here. Breaking news. An Ohio grandmother got a visit from Child Services after she posted photos of her granddaughter in a roasting pan surrounded by potatoes.
No, 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 bitch!
Another picture showed the baby with her pacifier duct taped to her mouth. The grandmother said she was just being silly.
It's silly.
And that people are too uptight.
This kid, it is just silly.
Oh, Grandma, you're so funny. Now, let's wrap some duct tape around your face and pull it off. Funny, right?
Silliness, that's all it is.
A developing story. A father in Georgia was arrested when police approached his car at a stoplight because the car hadn't moved after several light changes. Police found a man passed out with his foot on the brake, a two-year-old not strapped in on the front seat, and in the car seat in the back seat was a bottle of whiskey.
Holy cow!
So the two-year-old hits the dashboard if you stop short. That's okay. At least your bottle of whiskey is safe.
Idiot.
You moron.
Moron.
Stunod. Strunz.
You inhuman slime.
Ditch rat.
You slut.
Those stories and more on 240 Minutes. And the Gear Force welcomes fellow aviators, the Blue Angels, to Chicago this week.
Hold on 1,000 up the Diamond 360.
This is the Streamliner, the Super G.
A little more power.
WGN.FM.
A little more pull.
Chicago!
Woo!
Yeah. Middle of the afternoon. Tom, those Blue Angel pilots, all those jet fighter guys, they're studs.
They are. But, you know, that's terrifying. You live down near the lake. I do, too. And those things go by.
Oh, they're practicing today and going through the buildings.
Gee.
And just think, if they were hostile towards you, were firing things, the noise is enough. And then you're running and they're shooting at you.
You know,
that's the full package.
That's it. Now you know how terrifying a force this is when we go into an area with this kind of force, we kind of establish dominance right away.
It's something like, la, 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 la. And then there are just some smoking sandals.
I know.
And it's all over.
There were three dogs in my house barking at I don't know what they thought they were going to do, bark it away or something like that. But the thing
dogs get very freaked out with those loud noises, fireworks, that kind of thing.
I know. But can you imagine, this is what's going on over in northern Iraq right now. You know, this is the kind of...
And they still won't give up.
I know.
And we haven't unleashed the full power. We're just using a few here and there. But if we went full Monty on them...
Tell me about it. I mean, you wouldn't even have to release a bomb for me. I just fly over. I'm scared to death listening to the things, you know?
Yeah. I don't get it either, but I'm not from that part of the world, thank God, because somebody sent me a story about India and how they're trying to get these people to use indoor toilets. And they are resistant because they have a whole belief system about you shouldn't literally crap where you eat.
Really?
Meaning they think it's foul to have the waste inside under your roof.
Now,
which is exactly the opposite of way you should be thinking. I'll get into that a little later. I know you're having a sandwich, but...
No, no.
What?
No.
No.
Okay. No, I've already had my sandwich.
Good.
But all I was thinking, I've had some of the stagehands walk by today and say, hey, you ever been in the back of one of those F-16s? And I never have. You know how they take the reporters up. Have you ever done that?
They have offered. I declined. I mentioned this yesterday. I am not going to go up and throw up in a bag.
No, me either. So to entertain the pilot.
Right, to get off on what a wimp I am. I don't have to do that.
No.
I can admit it on the ground. Thank you.
I went up to Great America. I rode two rides, and I was through for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
So you put me in an F-16?
I'm a soft pretzel. I admit it. I don't have to pretend like I'm some macho wannabe, like a lot of these other guys on the radio.
You know, when I was up in school.
What?
Darlin'.
What did I say?
One of my professors flew with the Hurricane Hunters, and he would always tell this this story about one of these media types, us, who went up, and watched them flying into a hurricane. And this guy became ill and vomited in the, the bag and tried to throw it out the drop-zone chute. That's the little hole in the fuselage that they, drop equipment out of and little parachutes. So he told the story about this guy throwing up in the bag, and then he threw it down the drop-zone chute, and, of course, it flew back in his face. And they thought that was a riot because here this
guy... I know, that's what they do.
Yeah. And I'm not going to. I agree with you, Gary. I'm not going to do that. I'll admit, I probably am going to get sick. So why do it?
How brazen is it to think that you, with absolutely no training, can go up there? Oh, look at me! These guys go through all this training. They've been doing this for years, and you're going to go up there and show everybody how tough you are.
Right. 14 G's, and I'm going to get out of that plane just like nothing happened.
The best place to see it. I was fortunate enough to be on a boat a couple times out in Lake Michigan, because those things are literally 50 feet above your head when they come over, and to see the belly of those planes screaming by, and you're out on the lake. And
you know what I kick over? When you look at the engine.
I'm getting chill bumps.
and a
chubby.
When they pass on by, you see that flame coming out the engine in the back. Boy, there's some real energy there.
Oh, but they put those afterburners on, and that's why we had some Van Halen there. That's what they're playing in the cockpit. It's either Van Halen, ZZ Top, AC/DC, because they're all pumped up and just flying over, screaming through those buildings.
I remember that commander on board the ship in Top Gun saying, "Son, your ego's writing checks that your body can't cash." That one of the great lines.
Tom. I mean, really, it's a lot of macho guys out there, and we're just sitting by with our soft pretzels,
throwing up in the back seat.
Pretty much, yeah. Like I mentioned yesterday when I went to the Rockford Air Show, and that's the best way to go because you're on while you're at the airport where you should be at for an air show, and there are the planes right there.
Sure.
In this case, in Chicago, you're sitting somewhere on the beach. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you'll be near where they fly over, but you can really see everything at the Rockford Air Show. You're sitting right there as they take off, and these guys are standing there, and you can see them get into their planes.
That is cool.
The whole procedure, there's a whole ceremony.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned, they have these 15-inch waists. These guys are beyond studly.
I know. They're so in fantastic shape.
The jumpsuit and the hat.
On top of it, they're smart. I mean, you can't go up there and get in one of these fighter missions, flying these things against MiGs or something, and not have the mental, aptitude of a genius.
And landing on an aircraft carrier?
Oh.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that the truth?
They got the tail hook there. They have to hit that thing.
You know what scares me, though? The guys who, cords or wires that catch the planes?
Yeah.
There must be some horrible accidents that happen with that.
Well, I would imagine, but that's why they get the best of the best to do that.
That's true. That's a job and a half, too.
Well, that's this weekend, and the weather is going to be what for the whole thing, Saturday and Sunday?
I am a little concerned there might be some scattered storms Saturday, but I'm thinking there are going to be some big wide-open periods in there before these things pop. But a couple of them, these thunderstorms will be popping during the afternoon on Saturday. And then Sunday we could have a couple more, but these are going to come through in clusters. It doesn't rain sunup to sundown this time of the year very often. Sunday looks like the wetter of the 2 days now, and I think the stuff on Saturday will form in the warmth and humidity of the afternoon. Now, when those happen, they're going to be heavy storms in terms of rain production, but you're going to have the vast majority of hours okay before that takes place.
Great.
Yeah. So, it's a little hit or miss right now as to when these develop and whether they'll develop over the lakefront as versus somewhere nearby. They're going to be in the area, but there's a fighting chance of getting this thing in and being able to dodge these things.
It is pretty today.
It is. It is gorgeous, although it's cool. The temperatures are down about 11 degrees. This is a late September-like day, and then it'll warm back up into the 80s tomorrow, and probably mid to upper 80s on Saturday, so it'll be a nice warm day on Saturday. Then it turns cooler Sunday. The wind's going to come off that water Sunday with clouds and some rain in the area. That could be a little cool. And same on Monday, but there's still signs later next week we're going to, puff up a dome of warm air, and we'll see how that works out, but that could be one of the warmer days or spells of the summer.
I'm not going to look at your weather page and see what time the sun is setting, because I know it's earlier than it was two
yeah.
months ago, for sure.
It is.
For sure, and
yeah.
I don't want to know. I want to just keep pretending that I got plenty of daylight left,
yeah.
trick myself into that.
So are you up for the move? Bill Schneider.
Schneider.
My producer who loves the hot weather. He's already concluded that he's going to move up to northern Alberta or the Northwest Territories, where it's been warmer this summer than it has been down here.
Has it?
Yeah. There was one little weather station up by Yellowknife. This is way up in northern Canada. They had a 93. That's warmer than we've been at any point this whole summer.
Well,
that's
the whole,
screwed up this
right.
whole thing.
The whole year's been like that because
yeah.
I remember you saying in January, February, Alaska was warmer than it was here.
It is. I mean, part of the, what people don't realize is they say, where's the warming? Well, the warming's there. It's just in the wrong place. And it buckles these jet streams in weird ways. And so you actually end up cooling off because the warmth is somewhere it shouldn't be, So that's what's been going on all summer. The jets buckled around this warmth that's been parked over Canada. They burned 7 million acres of forest up there, and that's what's produced these beautiful sunsets many times we've seen around here. The smoke coming off those things.
No, so let's get some forest fires and get a nice sunset for a photo op.
There you go. Yeah,
I watched the drone video that was taken at Lollapalooza. I'll tell you what, these drones are capturing some magnificent shots.
It's amazing, isn't it?
This guy should give that video to the city to use as a promotional video.
Yeah.
The city looked like I had never seen it before.
It's beautiful.
You've got the skyline. You got it at twilight.
Yeah.
And then you got the concert going on, and it just looked like everything was happening.
And how often do we see it from that perspective? We've got helicopters that float up there, but
not as low as this.
No, that's right. These drones are, they may even change my mind a little bit on drones because there are some pretty neat shots coming out of these things. We've been getting great weather shots out of them. And, they are flying these things into hurricanes. They actually drop them out of the hurricane hunters now, and these things spiral down and take readings inside the storm. And the beauty of this is they can take readings right down close to the ocean surface and all that you couldn't possibly get a plane down there to take. And this is going to be critical if we're going to improve these models that forecast hurricanes. And they're doing the same around tornadoes. They're flying some of these things around tornadoes.
The other video making the rounds, maybe you've seen it, a guy wore a...
On the top of the antenna?
Right, at the Hancock. One of those... Is it GoPro? Is that what it's called,
right,
that camera?
The camera.
Oh.
And
did I read this right? They're removing the West Tower? Is that true, the whole thing, or just part of it? I mean, you got to have two towers because it would look goofy otherwise.
It would.
We're so used to those dual towers.
Look asymmetric.
But this guy, he's at the tippy top of that one tower, and he's cutting... the metal.
I know.
And the vista, of course, is magnificent, but I don't know. I was getting weak knees just watching the video.
Again,
I'm a soft pretzel. I don't need to prove anything. I admit it.
He was on top of it?
He was on top, the very top,
with
a torch cutting the thing up.
Oh, my word.
And there's video of it. He has the camera on top of his helmet.
And here's the speck down below him that's Oak Street Beach.
Yeah.
It
was a beautiful day.
Gary, I'm sorry. There isn't enough money in the world that you'd pay me. You think I wouldn't go in the back of a fighter? Would you go up on top of an antenna and do
We're really sounding like we have the softest hands on earth.
Thank
God some people are willing to do it.
I know. These guys earn their pay. That is really horrifying when you see what they...
That thing is swaying beside.
Yeah.
That's a good point, too, Leslie.
And they have no problem. They're just walking up there, cutting, doing what they do.
Gee. I don't know. They earn everything they're paid. That's a heck
of a
job.
And they're not paid that much, probably, either.
Well, not what it should be.
For that,
I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, you know it should be more. Because
true.
How many people would do that?
And yet, you know, think how we depend on that. I mean, these are antennas they put up there. There are lights that for air safety, so we don't have planes flying into these things, you know, these towers.
I know those antennas house the FM signals of a lot of stations here.
And
I guess
TV.
They have some TV up there.
Sure.
Maybe they're taking the FM side down, and that's another sign that AM and FM are toast. Because my AM FM radio in my one car went out the other day.
Yeah, I think they're putting up a big Wi-Fi.
Yeah, we're going Wi-Fi.
Giant Wi-Fi.
We're going total internet.
Well, you know what happened.
See, everything's going away on that AM-FM thing. Don't invest in it.
Yeah.
Tell
Gary,
them.
They've looked at you. They see you trending number one. They say, what in the world are we sending this over the air for? We ought to be doing what Meyer's doing.
Thank
you. Sending it out on the wire, on the internet. Yeah.
All right, so...
By the way, Bill came in yesterday, and he told me that, hey, I've got my phone hooked up, and so he listens on the phone coming in now.
Schneider?
And I've got it, too, now. I've got it set up.
Schneider?
So I can, yeah.
Yeah.
So I can listen now on the in the car.
I haven't seen Schneider in...
You're at number 10 right now.
Oh, I can do better.
Uh-oh.
Come on.
Well, but this is at 322.
At 322.
I'm just looking at it now.
At 100, if 100,000 stations and programs are cataloged, number 10 is good.
That's pretty darn good.
Okay, I'm going to try to do better. I apologize.
Better than 14.
I haven't seen Schneider for a while. Yeah. You need to have one of those blast-out parties that you do where we all do goofy stuff and
we
hang
do.
Out.
I know. Go out in the, you know, hang, do pull-ups from the balcony, you know.
Show, shoot bottle rockets off the balcony, stuff
that's
like that.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Exactly.
It's a rave.
We gotta
it's a Tom Skilling rave.
I know.
Some Molly.
Jeez. Doing some Molly.
Yeah.
We got to put some Skrillex on.
We've got to get Elton and Leslie over to those, too.
Yeah, okay. Well, whenever you schedule it, we'll...
Yeah.
Get over there.
I want to see Tom doing pull-ups on the balcony.
Yeah, no, with his shirt off.
No,
oh, yeah. It's on Instagram after he's doing it.
Elton, if I try that, I'm going over the side. You know, that's it. That'll be the last party we have.
I got a text that said something to the effect, it was yesterday, I'm trying to remember, but the gist of it was, is it worth getting a CCM? Isn't that something in meteorology?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what it is?
Certified Consulting Meteorologist.
What is that, and should one have one if one wants to get in this business?
You know, it's not a bad thing to do. A lot of private forecast agencies who do contract work for, like, construction companies or utilities or agricultural interests and all, they employ a lot of CCMs. And then you take an exam, it's kind of like a board certification for a doctor. And it's not a bad thing to have if you're going to go into consulting work, especially.
Is there growth happening in your business?
Oh, yeah. I think applied meteorology is doing quite well. In other words, taking this ream of data we get and applying it to particular needs. For instance, you know, the utility companies have weather forecasters who generate hourly weather forecasts for them, and then they use this, they plug this then into models that tell them how much electricity to generate. And so, they put their crews on alert for possible damage to power lines in storms and get ready for that. The utilities, you know, the city of Chicago hires private meteorological companies. We have one here in town, Murray and Treadle, that does forecasting for the ball teams and also for the city and municipalities who have to send snow plows out.
What about the airports? Do they have their own weather station stuff going on right at the airport?
Many of the airlines have their own.
United and the airlines. So you start adding all that up, there's job possibilities here.
Oh, there are. You've got military applications.
Forget pharmacy. That's saturated. I'll tell you that right now. You go into this weather thing.
Yeah, there are a lot of young people coming in. It's a very competitive field, but there are no two ways about it. There are a lot of ways, and a lot of people want very specialized weather information. They want to be able to pick up the phone and say, hey, I've got 40,000 people sitting out at Wrigley Field, and it's raining. How long before this ends, and what's the rest of the evening look like? And they've got somebody they can call right away. Or if you're at Streets and Sand and you want to know whether or not to call out the fleet of trucks, You know, you want a meteorologist or a meteorological firm on duty 24 hours a day that you can call up and say, this snow that just started, is it going to be serious? And so that's the kind of forecasting that's done.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
All right, Tom. I will talk to you again tomorrow.
Good. Okay, Gary.
3 o'clock.
All right.
Thank you. Tom Skilling right there.
Did he do the weather? No?
Yeah. We did weather. Right, Tom?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about the air show this weekend.
Right, the weekend.
Why don't we do a compact one so I can replay it at 6 o'clock and we'll just have it again, all right?
Sure. Well,
here, Tom, what's the weather?
Gary, we've got a nice cool night. There's a fall feel to the weather tonight. Temperatures go down to 53 inland, 60 at the lakefront. Clear skies. Tomorrow, partly sunny, up to 82, but more like the mid to upper 70s at the beaches. Then tomorrow night, partly cloudy, might be an isolated thunderstorm late. And Saturday, partly sunny, a few scattered thunderstorms, primarily in the afternoon and evening. If and where they occur, they'll be heavy, but not everybody will see them. About 40% coverage on those, and about 86 for a high on Saturday. And then Sunday, winds off the lake, more clouds than sun, spells of showers and maybe a thunderstorm, and a scattered thunderstorm Monday, too, with maybe mid-70s and low-70s at the lakeshore on Sunday.
All right. I will talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Gary.
Thanks, Tom.
You bet.
312-521-8600, GM on the Streamliner with David Hochberg, who has a show on the dot 3 days a week, right?
It's going to be, I just heard they sold another one. We closed another deal. Conasec and Dillon are coming in on Friday. We're going to have a legal show on Friday. So 4 days a week from 2 to 3. We're going to have a full bank of shows.
But you're on...
I'm on Tuesdays, but I'm hosting the other shows.
You host the other shows.
I host the other shows. So my show is on Tuesday from 2 to 3. Dr. McGuire, the head urologist at Northwestern Medical Center, North Shore Health System, is starting his show next Wednesday, Men's Health Show. So he's starting next Wednesday. Dr. Block, Body by Block, the plastic surgeon, he's been on Thursdays from 2 to 3. And now we're going to have Conasec and Dillon. I think the first week of September is when they're starting. They're going to do a show on legal topics.
We're a month away from OxyClean.
No gardeners?
and a food show.
Yeah, there's no gardeners? No green grocer?
Hey. That's better than the colonic shows. I mean, right?
Yeah.
Elvis died with a colon filled with poop. I mean, you know, we're giving out information.
That's what we do.
We're helping people.
That's why they put me on this, because I'm Mr. Info.
That's right. We don't know what the info is, but
thank God there's no fact-checking.
Exactly.
Whatever makes people feel good, right,
yeah.
David?
I got some treatments done on Monday with
the... Yeah, you seem to be limping. What's your problem?
I threw out my L3 disc. I got a herniated disc.
Oh, the L3. That's
the L3.
That's the one they don't want you to throw out.
L2 is fine.
No, L2 would have been better, but L3, I can't feel my life. I'm walking like Kaiser's. Sose, in that movie Unusual Suspects. That's how I've been walking for the past 3 years.
Obscure, but interesting.
Yes, you know, it's a good movie.
I'll ask Eric Childress at 5 who that was and what it's all about.
Kevin Spacey, great movie. So it's come along, going to physical therapy. I'll be fine in about a week, so life is good.
And you did your mortgage show Tuesday. So today you hosted whom?
Body by Block, the plastic surgeon, Dr. Stephen Block, world-renowned board-certified plastic surgeon. We had a lady call in, one of his patients call in this week. She went from a 34J boobs down to a 34C.
He cut 34J?
J. She and it was I'm like, what? I didn't think you could go up that big. She's like, I had to order my bras online. So she talked about he eliminated 2.5 pounds of fat from her breasts. Can you believe that?
That had to be uncomfortable.
No. She said it was hurting her backs. Her bra straps were digging into her. Her skin, her neck was hurting, and she was a Playboy model, she said, on the air. She said she was a Playboy model. So he did that. He did a tummy tuck after she had a couple of kids. And I got photo facial done on. I had these brown spots on my hands and on my face, sun damage. I went in there Monday. He zapped it away. I got Wolfman Jack ears with hair growing out of all parts of my ears. He lasered that in the back of my neck.
You're a handsome man, aren't you?
I am a handsome man to a blind person, absolutely.
Okay, the ear hair, why can't you just clip that at home?
I can, but it keeps growing. I just want to be done with it. So I was there, I'm just like, ladies.
And that's permanent?
Yeah. I'm like, ladies, fire up the laser. So they fired up the laser, bzz, 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 and then they, you know, zapped it like 5 or 6 times each ear, and it hurt.
You can't hear anymore.
But, I can't feel
but no
my ears.
Hair will grow.
There's nothing wrong with that. Exactly. I've got good hairless ears.
That's the main thing.
Damn thing, right.
And these brown spots, they come right off?
Yeah, they're going to fall off slowly, but they get darker. There's a light pulse that gets shot down into the skin, and it impacts with the melanomin, the melanin in your skin, and it works its way out. In about 7 days, it'll exfoliate and fall off in my hands, too. Like I got like 90-year-old man hands from being in the sun as a kid. He said all this damage was done, they said, when I was between 8 and 12 years old, because when we were younger, you know, go outside and run around. We'd run around. We never wore sunscreen. Now, yeah. You know, kids got they don't leave the house without sunscreen in their backpack.
I remember I was about 8 or 9 years old, went out, had my shirt off, came back, and there were thousands of freckles on my shoulders that weren't there earlier that day.
There you go.
And we didn't, like you said, know anything about it. I just thought, oh, well,
Nobody's
going to see that. Who's going to see that? Right. I don't see it. Unless I have a mirror that's attached that I can look up at.
That's right.
Are they still there?
I haven't looked.
Still don't know.
I still haven't looked.
Take your shirt off, young man.
I don't know.
I got a guy that could get rid of it for you.
Yes, you do.
He's got a freckle guy.
I got a freckle guy. Sun damage guy.
Hey, no. Aaron, can you find that story about the doctor who got some breast augmentation and then she had one of her employees do something to her? You know what I'm talking about? It's in here somewhere.
Is it a male doctor or a female doctor?
It's a female doctor. That's the funny part about this. It's one of the stories that's in the stack here, but it's not alphabetized, so I couldn't find it in a New York
minute. It's not under Beeb for boobs?
No.
No.
But she'll know where it is, and I'll bring it into the discussion because of what you just said.
I'm going to get my boobs done, too. I'm going to get them. I'm about a B cup right now, and when I'm down 20 pounds, so I got another 30 pounds to go, and if I still got man boobs, I'm going in, he's going to suck them out.
You're like the game operation.
I'm going.
Everything is getting pulled.
I'm going to get
zapped, pushed,
that's
cut.
It. I had my back operated on 2 years ago, and then I had to go out again, and I'm just like, this is it. You know, this is awake 48 years old and falling apart, so I lost 20 pounds in 3 weeks just eating right, not exercising because I can't move. And, you know, once I could start moving my fat rear end, I'm going to get down to 220, and I'm going to be like, you know, if I still got man boobs, they're coming out. I'm having them do a little lipo.
Okay. As this text says, TMI, David, 312-521-8600, but that's your man, David.
That's right. I
laid
it out there.
He's an open book.
Thank God for .fm.
Exactly.
You'd be a mess.
Well, I don't know.
You'd have black spots all over you.
Exactly.
Every year.
I'm sure he's getting an invoice from the good doctor.
No, actually, it was comped. It was great.
That's what I'm saying. That's the beauty of this business.
That's right.
A doctor in West Virginia may no longer be allowed to practice after the state's Board of Health released a report citing a number of disturbing violations on her part, including an incident in which she made an employee motorboat her breasts in the office. Dr. Tressie Montaigne Duffy operates a weight loss clinic. Duffy has faced trouble in the past for abusing her power to write prescriptions, but news of a letter indiscretion has caused a new wave of controversy surrounding the physician. Soon after undergoing breast augmentation, Duffy approached a female employee and forced her to motorboat her newly enhanced chest.
See, there's where she went wrong. If she would have gone to a male employee all day long, right? That's where she messed up, right?
And that's why you're on the Internet.
Exactly.
That kind of crap ain't going to fly on the commercial band.
I mean, you don't go to a female employee and say, motorboat me. Go to some dude and be like, all right, how long? Would you like the 30-second motorboat?
Is that the...
Yeah.
Okay. Is that the...
As if you don't know. Yeah.
The report also claims Duffy allowed her patients to pick which pain medications they wanted prescribed. What do you want?
Well, Percocet?
Here's what I got. Look at my menu.
Exactly.
You pick. You know your pain better than I
One
do.
One from column A, two from column B.
Yeah.
You can't substitute.
So as I've mentioned, David has been nice enough to finance a lot of the items I've given away over the years, and we have pretty much exhausted what we have given away in the last 6 months to a year of the muffs and the pins. I don't know how many pins we have left. You made that delivery
5,000
two days before.
Exactly.
They take me off the AM, and all these pins go Dreamliner AM 720, sitting there with bags of pins. Thank you very much. And we still give those out.
Yeah.
On
they're collector's
occasion.
Items. They're
yes,
collector.
They are.
They're collector's.
But we have to come up with something else because I need to give away things when I have contests.
Yeah.
I can't rely on the radio station at this point.
Well, you never could.
Well, as it turns out, I guess they're gearing those towards other shows. Although I've gotten some Lou Malnati's and Rudy Malnati's stuff back, gift cards.
Tom Malnati's. Not as well known.
Minor, yeah. Zeke Malnati's. I don't know where that is. Here, give away these.
Yeah.
You loser. So that's what I have to work with. But I do like giving away the stuff that we make through Rick Dano, your friend and my friend out at Midwest Promotion Group in Oak Brook. And it's not, and I know he'll email me, they're not tchotchkes. I didn't say tchotchkes. These are nice items. These
what about promotion? Smartphone covers? You like the rubber to protect your smartphone?
Yeah.
Because this is one of the ways that people listen.
Sure.
Well, anything that can tie into the internet. Yeah.
Yeah.
That might be
easy for him to do, too.
But the problem is you got different, you've got Samsung, you've got.
But aren't they all pretty much just.
Aren't they a standard size?
No, they're not? No, because the iPhone is different. Well, there's a new iPhone coming out, supposedly the same size as the others. No, we have Rick check into it if that's what your listeners want. Listen, all the other stuff is organic. You started talking about Dickies one day. I was driving home, and I'm like, I'm in. And we started talking, and, the muffs, you were on the radio with Tom. I was driving home. I called in. I'm like, I'm in. And then it just happened organically because you were talking about it on the air.
Well, Tom had a Snuggie with his face on it that Channel 9 gave away, and I said, what's the follow-up? And he didn't have one, and then we got into that muff discussion, and lo and behold, we had the perfect winter for them. So whatever we can do to tie into this or just something that makes sense for the Air Force.
Yes.
Yeah, text me, email me, or whatever.
Yeah.
And we'll work on something.
I've never turned you down. Right. You've always been good to me. I appreciate the association with the show. And, you're on a different format, which I think is great. I enjoy listening. I think driving home and having a 30-minute stretch of entertainment without breaking for traffic and weather every 15 minutes is actually kind of nice. I mean, I'll be honest with you.
I agree.
It's a nice stretch. I mean,
wrong with talking for a good 25, 30 minutes?
You're right.
When did that become old-fashioned?
No, it's great. So I told you when the switch was made, nail it. Let's kill it. And I've enjoyed it. And I've enjoyed the long format of the listeners' calls because, when I'm on... When you're on the mothership, you got to get them off every 5 minutes because you're taking a quick break. You can't really get into a conversation. And I find the conversations you have, I don't find you guys interesting at all. I find the conversations you have with your listeners that call in and just the topics they bring up. And
thank you, David.
And I find that really...
Thank you for your backhanded compliment. How about this? It says, make up the Gary Meyer G-stream on a G-string.
One size fits all. We could do that.
It is on a G-string, isn't it? In more ways than one. I like that.
We could have, we used to say, please send in pictures of you in the dickie, but I think you could hold back the pictures of you in the G-string, unless it's an attractive picture. So we'd have to put
After the doctor does all the work on
exactly.
me, I'll be right after you. Here, suck this out, push that in, cut this off.
Exactly.
You're like... in the Wizard of Oz when they were buffing the Tin Man
exactly.
and cutting the lion's hair.
Exactly.
That's what you must look like, and the whole process happens.
Yes.
Well, our own Joan Rivers.
I'm at the beginning. No, I'm not doing...
You're going to look like
a
wolf.
He's not cutting anything on my face.
I don't know. You got a few crow's feet there.
I'm not going freak show, man.
How old are you?
How old? I'm 47.
You're 47?
I'm 47.
You're a kid.
Yeah,
kid.
I'm a young pup.
All right, and I was talking to you earlier because you didn't do your mortgage stuff today, and I haven't talked to you about this in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And you told me off air that the market's starting to really perk up, and rates are still low, and things are good, right?
Yeah, the realtors will tell you, and I love realtors and encourage everybody to use a realtor, especially when buying a home, because the seller pays the commission. And any time that you talk to a realtor will tell you. They're getting multiple offers again, 3-4 offers at a time on sales, and they're getting 95% to 97% of the list price, which is unheard of. 3 years ago, they were lucky if it didn't slide another 5% or 10%. Now they're getting multiple offers, which is more competition for the properties. And so now the people that were holding to wait for the market to come back to put their house on the market that had their homes paid off are now finally getting around to saying, I'm the hell out of here. All the older population that want to get out of their bigger homes, now the value's back and they're able to get out and make the money that they want to make to go to Florida or to go to another location here in Illinois. But what's nice is that the inner city has come back. Chicago, Bucktown, Boys Town, Wicker Park, all those areas in the city are back, and it's gone all the way out to Oak Park, and it's going all the way out to the western suburbs. Wheaton's back. Naperville's all done. And what's happening is from Chicago to Wheaton has already filled in. All those properties have already recovered. So now we're finally able to springboard to the Auroras, and then springboard to the DeKalbs and the Sycamores are now starting to come back. And we were talking during the break, Romeoville last year off of I-55 just before Joliet. You could get a home down there for $85,000 to $95,000. Now they're going for $155,000 to $170,000 because people came in, the investment blocks came in and bought up 15, 20, 30, 40 of these homes at $95,000 because they saw the market changing. Supply came down, prices ricocheted up, and now you've got value now in Romeoville again, which is nice. So what happens? Romeoville's back. Then you bounce to Joliet, Plainfield, Manhattan, Manteno, all the way down. The domino effect happens, and then those areas come back, and people are able to buy still a very price-effective home if you're buying the home, but enables the people that were upside down just hanging on to sell their home without bringing in a chunk of money to upgrade or downgrade to something smaller or something bigger to put that inventory on the market and get out. Because a lot of people were waiting to get back to the break-even point before they put the market on the house to sell their home. Now they're at that point, thank God, finally. And that's where you're seeing the extra activity, is that those people want to get their kids into a better school district, want to be closer to work in the city. And that's now actually happening with the recovery in the market.
You said they're getting 97% usually the asking price.
Yeah, within about a couple of 3 days. And what's happening is a lot of these realtors, it's called pocket listings. So the realtors will let other realtors in their office know, hey, 123 Maple's coming up in a couple of 3 months. Do you have anybody looking to buy in the 123 Maple area? And then you've got four people within their office that are willing to buy that home. So it doesn't even hit the multiple listing service. So the house gets signed up by Realtor A. Realtor A brings it back to their office. They've already got three or four offers in their office. It doesn't even go out to the general public. House gets sold in a day or two. That's what we're back to with realistic pricing. Because now the borrower has to go through a colonoscopy, a blood test, a DNA test to get a mortgage nowadays. So it's not like the Wild West where everybody was getting a mortgage back in the between 2002 and 2008. Now it's a nice fluid market where people have to qualify for loans, and we're back to where people are buying homes that they can afford and have to go through a qualifying and approval process. So that's why we're in a sustainability section of the market right now. We're not seeing meteoric rises and then another crash. We're stable.
Bibble can sell his parents' home.
Finally.
Because the hornets are gone, the raccoons
are
gone.
Right, the furniture's gone.
When is that going on the market?
Well,
it's been sitting there for 5 years.
Well, now that we came back from our now it's empty, and now I want to get a realtor to get an idea as to what.
Yeah.
I'm also looking at what others.
And all the smells out of it?
All the smells are out. I put one of those Sonic bombs or something that you fumigate everything.
I'm sure that smells delicious. So I can hook you up with a realtor. Yeah, I mean, I would put it on the market sooner than later.
Oh, I am. Like I said, I wanted to, we went on vacation. So
yeah, because once you get around to like Thanksgiving, typically everything dies until the 15th of January because everybody's
Plus, there's a premium because this is the house that I grew up and lived
in. Oh, absolutely.
So
the premium to whom?
Yeah.
Well, there's cachet.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Try to sell that.
Yeah.
Just hope you have all the skunk smell out of there. That's really all you should be concerned about.
Oh, that was cachet. There's a little. Yeah, this is my room.
Yeah. This is where Bibble. Wore his first dress.
Yeah.
You might want to add a little something on that for that. Here's a text. Ask David how Orland Park is doing.
Orland Park's great. That whole Southwest corridor is back. Cause what happened in the Southwest corridor there in the Orland Parks in the area is that investors came in. And big money, deep pocket investors came in and bought up a ton of homes, fixed them up, and rented them out. So there's a bunch of renters in there, which took the houses off the market for people to buy. So now people that want to buy in that western, southwestern market are paying more for it. And the people that have got the homes to sell are getting a higher value for it. So everybody's like, oh, we don't want these investors coming in. Yes, you do. You want the inventory off the market So then what happens is prices go up, and then when those homes come out of lease, they sell them one or two at a time to the people typically living in those homes that are renting those homes from the landlords, typically buy those homes that don't go on the market and compete with other things on the market. So Orland Park, Oak Lawn, that whole 95th and Western area down there, that's all back. Hickory Hills, all back, all the way down to New Lenox, New Lenox, I can't think, I'm blanking right now, but that whole quarry corridor down there, it's all back.
Frankfurt, Tinley Park.
Tinley Park, Plainfield, it's all back. Yeah, it's all back. If they need a great realtor, I'm associated with realtors that could give them an estimated value if they're interested. I don't get anything from it. It's just, you know, realtors okay. I work with.
And your number again, David?
312-896-2111, 312-896-2111, townstone.com, townstone.com. Student loans, we're doing student loans. Signed up to do private student loans now. Not only federally backed loans, but we're helping people refinance private student loans, saving people a fortune, which enables them to buy a home.
Oh, that's a big issue right now.
Oh, big issue. Huge. That's why we started the company. So we're helping people refinance and consolidate their student loans, both private and federal, which saves them saved $749 a month, which enabled her to buy a $135,000 home instead of living in an $80,000 condo. So we're helping people one at a time. So if you want more information on that, the website we have is lowermySLP, student loan payment, SLP.com, and we'll see if we can help. It's a free consultation. If we could help you, we will. If we can't, we'll tell you. And it doesn't hurt. And also I'm affiliated with a group who heard me on the radio, My College Planning Team, that helps college-bound students, parents, and the kids prepare for college, saving, look for scholarships. You're going through that. You know what a process that is. Parents don't know where to turn. So mycollegeplanningteam.com is the website. I'm the loan guy and the mortgage guy there. So I just you know, the radio has opened me up to people hearing me and offering me different opportunities, which is great. So we could help other people, you know, spend more money and save money for college.
Trying to get my daughter to get a High Life scholarship. You want to go into these areas where you don't think a lot of people are going to be sniffing around.
A High Life.
High Life, yeah. Is there a scholarship for that?
That's awesome. With those big.
Yeah, whatever that is.
With the helmet.
Yeah. Like in a racquetball court. Yeah, you just start sniffing the ball.
It's a High Life.
High Life.
Man,
it's big in Florida.
I know it is. Where'd you pull that from?
Well, I pull a lot of things out of different places. David, I'm going to have to ask you to make way for Leslie, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right, David Hochberg. And, oh, he hung up, but taxi driver Bob wanted to know about Skokie.
Oh, Skokie
good? Skokie's good. Bob, Skokie's good.
Skokie's fantastic. It's a great place. There's a great deli right on Dempster.
It's got the moist corned beef. Speaking of corned beef, I go to
arugula
lunch with a friend of mine in Los Angeles. He takes me to one of these historic delis, right? And I'm having a nice nosh, and he's paying at the counter, and he says to me, "This isn't my favorite deli," and I'll be honest with you, the corned beef's kind of dry, and the girl at the cash register goes, "My parents own this deli." He goes, "Yeah, but I come back all the time. Don't worry about it." It was right next to the mitzvah store.
Oh, perfect.
So I thought, I can go to the mitzvah store and get started.
That's right.
The mitzvah store, right there, with my brothers and sisters. Leslie, what do you got?
Does your daughter play pickleball?
What's that?
Does your daughter play pickleball?
Pickleball?
I'm hearing that that's the other new game that everybody's playing. It's
what
like
is it?
Tennis with a bigger ball.
Really? Pickleball?
Something like that. Yeah, I don't know. I've heard it like 3 times in the last 2 weeks.
David, Melrose Park, Northlake?
Good.
Good. All right, got it.
Am I good
text.
In Westmont? Still good Westmont? In Westmont?
Westmont, good. Westmont. All right, everybody's getting a good thumbs up from David. Gary Meyer on .fm. A few weeks back, had a guy come in and, well, held my hand a little bit on some technology, and I thought, well, this should be a regular feature because there's always something new out there that a lot of us might not be aware of right now and could help us enjoy the easy listening of this program. And I don't mean it's easy listening in the traditional sense. I just mean in the way you can get it in the car, at home, or whatever. to make it as less complicated as possible. This is Dan. And how do you pronounce your last name again, Dan?
Fedor.
Fedor. And he was nice enough to share some information, and we gave some stuff away last time. We don't have that component this time, but Dan promises to be back at some point to give away things.
That's right, Gary. We're actually scheduled to be back on September 2nd with Verizon.
Great.
And they have something new and fun to give away again. So they're very happy with the show, and they're looking forward to coming back and supplying your listeners with more technology.
Well, I appreciate it, and I know the listeners will when they get a chance to win something. And I got this text early in the show. I wanted to find it for you because maybe you know what the heck's happening here as far as before the show starts. And Aaron, if you can find that, it was right after the show started about it. There's some dead air a minute or two in or something like that. Let me see if I can scroll
before
down.
Well,
that's why I'm trying to.
Because there is a little time when we actually start recording to when we start the show.
Here, why does your show not start on time with the TuneIn app? The link to the live show doesn't show up till a minute or two after 3 o'clock.
Well, I would basically just assign that to kind of the ghost in the machine. You already are not on a 90-second delay, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
So whether you're listening with TuneIn or the WGN app or the iHeartRadio app, there are just sometimes unexplainable reasons based in some type of technology, not malfunction, just things catching up with each other, like someone talking to you via satellite phone from Europe. It just might be a little bit of a delay, but my suspicion is it's got something to do with the 90-second delay here. And, you know, when things, I'm not sure if it's still the case, but before your show came in, now that you've got other shows on the dot, FM
right before mine.
Right. Now those are live shows. I'm not sure how that transition works, but you know, previously they were just playing repeats of Johnny B's show until your show came on. So it's all kind of working itself out. I wouldn't waste any time trying to figure out why there's such a short delay with any of the apps. Once you're up and running, it works just fine.
The buffering comments that I get every now and then, is there any way to solve that on our end or the listener's end? Is that just part of the technology that we're dealing with?
Well, one thing I wanted to talk about last time that I think you two would probably both appreciate. Do you remember the Chef of the Future episode with the Honeymooners?
Definitely.
Yeah. So,
well, you looked at me, but of course, yeah. Bibble. That's all
I know. All 39 classic episodes.
That's all
friend.
He does
so
is watch television.
What scene are you worried
so,
about?
So, here? In the Chef of the Future episode, Ralph.
Corey Apple?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Now, so, keep all of us in the mix.
I will. Yeah, before we go off the deep end, Ralph comes up with a basically a Swiss Army knife of kitchen utensils. It's got everything, as Jim was just saying. It cores apples. It peels bananas. It does all of this stuff.
It can open a can.
There it comes.
So Ralph and Norton get a commercial, and Ralph is using the Chef of the Future apple core, and Norton is using the old-fashioned apple core. And, of course, Norton finishes his apple coring in about one-eighth of the time it takes Ralph to core the apple. So my point is that have you ever been behind somebody at the airport like me who's been using their phone as their boarding pass, and when they're at the airport, they can't pull up the Internet for some reason or their phone runs out of power, and they're holding up the whole line because they're trying to use their phone as their boarding pass, which is the Chef of the Future version, versus someone who just has a paper boarding pass where you don't have to worry about Internet connectivity, Wi-Fi signals interfering with you, or your power running out right as you're going up mm-hmm. to the TSA agent. So, you know, depending on the phone that you're using, we talked about a little bit last time, a lot of times if you have your Wi-Fi open on your phone, and you're walking around some building, office, or home that has a Wi-Fi signal, your phone is going to try to grab that. And while it's trying to grab that, you might lose connectivity with the app. And so that's what happens with the apps. They have to basically connect and then shake hands and then start playing. So there's kind of going to be an inevitable delay or buffering. That's just the terminology that all the apps use to say that they're getting things in order before they start playing the episode. If you like have a DVR at home, sometimes with certain shows like on HBO, you either can't fast forward or you try to fast forward, and then your video, your DVR will say buffering because it's trying to catch up with itself. So that's all that's happening. It's just the technology catching up with itself. So a little bit of it, again, is the AM radio is pretty easy and old, like the combustion engine. It's right there available. But as things progress, so too will become the dot FM. And you had a caller yesterday that was talking about the aftermarket car stereos. And that was a great call because it's something I hadn't actually thought of. It's a little bit pricey, but it may be something that people want to consider, like me, who don't have a Bluetooth media connection in their car. And I talked to a guy out in Libertyville on my way down, and he was talking about the Pioneer app radio, which is for your car, and you'll need a phone in your car to connect to the networks. But once you have that in, you can just push a button and start listening to TuneIn or iHeart or Pandora. And so that's the kind of thing where it becomes similar, where your Apple cores are now equal versus the way we do it now.
Are all or most new car radios that you go and buy at a Best Buy or whatever, are they still in business?
Yeah.
Best Buy is.
You never know.
That's about the only one, though.
Yeah. Do they all have that component now?
Yeah, I think I was just thinking about that because I called this guy who's kind of an independent shop out in Libertyville. But I know Best Buy had a car stereo kind of department, and I imagine they still are selling car stereos in the stereo shop. So if anybody's considering it, I'm sure that you can. I was going to ask this guy from Libertyville to maybe post a link on your page, and I'll do that because I also post a CNET, which is a technology magazine, online. And it posted the six top aftermarket car stereos. And, you know, some are a little bit more based towards the iPhone system, but most of them are towards the Android system. And the Android system, again, is a little bit more like that Swiss Army knife. It can do everything. And sometimes that's too much. Sometimes doing everything complicates things a little bit. The iPhone is a little bit more intuitive, but no matter what kind of aftermarket car stereo you're using for the internet, you're going to have your phone in your car to get that cellular connection. But basically, there are a variety of ways to listen to you in the car.
Now, I heard that a number of 2015 car models that are coming out, which would be in a couple months now, are going to have Wi-Fi capability. Affordable cars, not the Tesla, which already has internet connection, and a $150,000 car that better have it, my God, for $150,000.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about, I think, Chevy in their 2015 models is adding this kind of stuff.
I was just listening to a commercial yesterday for, I think, the Civic that's going to have all the connectivity. And when we talk about cars having a Wi-Fi connectivity capability, what that really means is that the car itself is drawing a cellular signal off the cell towers and then providing a signal of its own within the car. They call it a cradle hotspot, so that then people in that vehicle can connect with their Wi-Fi to the cellular signal emanating from that car. So it is a thing that's, you know, I was in Toronto for work, and some of the limo drivers have the little Wi-Fi logo on their car, meaning that, you know, you get in my car, you have Wi-Fi connectivity on your way, which is great. When I realized I was in Toronto and I didn't have the global data plan with my carrier, which I can get for a modest sum, but then that's when Wi-Fi becomes really important. And cradle hotspots, Wi-Fi hotspots, anybody can turn their phone into a Wi-Fi hotspot. So if someone wants to connect with you via their Wi-Fi service, you can turn your phone into basically a Wi-Fi hotspot that everybody else can tune into. So I would agree that, like we discussed a little bit last time, all of the basic model cars will have that kind of connectivity because it just has to be there now. No one can live without it.
Until that time, you mentioned last time what I thought was the best thing of all, for $8, the FM transmitter.
It went up to 10.
Okay.
I think there was a run on the bank.
I gave it a bump. Supply and demand.
I think so.
But is there anything simpler, more simple than this thing to connect in your car?
You know, I was going to mention one of my... There are a lot of comments on Facebook after my last segment, and one thing that I found that was, I think, good news. You know, most of the comments were very positive. The listeners appreciated the demonstration and kind of the know-how on how to do it. And you know, one of the complaints was, what if I don't have a data plan and I don't have a phone? But what I find intriguing is that, think about the fact that that complaint came in on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Right? So that person's already up on a computer And I don't think we can classify anymore. I hate to. I heard you guys talking about your respective phones yesterday.
I have a burner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, in this environment, it is pretty easy to get your hands on a Wi-Fi capable phone, and you wouldn't even have to have a cellular plan to listen to your show. You could take a phone without signing up with a carrier. Not that you wouldn't. And then you could go to a Starbucks and connect to their Wi-Fi and drink water and listen to your show for free.
And become a Gary Meyer hobo next to the laptop hobos.
Exactly.
And you could write your screenplay.
Yeah. Or talk on the phone about it to somebody. You can hear everything if you're sitting next to this person, which I did once. Right. I heard a whole deal go down next to me. It was 2 inches away.
Yeah, it is. We were on vacation, and there was a guy talking about how to fertilize his lawn on the ferry ride over to Mackinac Island. It is disturbing.
Yeah. You know? But this FM transmitter, explain it again. It's
yeah.
Just,
so the FM transmitter, I'll repost, or I'll have Keith and company repost the link to the particular version that I bought off of Amazon. The FM transmitter is, like Jim said last time, about the size of an eraser. It plugs right into your phone in the headphone jack of your phone, and then you set the FM transmitter to the same frequency, and you can basically pick any frequency on the FM dial. And it will actually snuff out whatever is transmitting on the FM dial and
nice.
play what is on your phone, whether it be a podcast or the live stream. And I did lend one or give one to my neighbor, and he drives back and forth through the city. And he said that the interference was minimal as well. He was able to listen all throughout. He noticed a little bit of static when there was nothing playing, but that's really good news that it worked like that. And I used it on my way down today, and I think I picked up one of the Blue Angels communicating with each other, but other than that, it was clear as a bell.
That would be cool, too.
And I looked at the Hancock building. I'd have to look at a previous picture, but it looks like they did strip the antennas.
The whole west antenna.
Well, I thought they were the white cones before, like on the Sears Tower, the Willis Tower. Now it looks like they're kind of naked. Yeah, they look like a wire has been stripped. So it's like the red.
I don't know if that... other parts coming down, too. I read the West Tower, they said, was coming down. I don't know for what or what's happening there, but...
Yeah, it was interesting. But and speaking of technology, that was a recent court case in favor of the cable companies just occurred, where there was an app that was letting you watch over-the-air TV on your mobile device. And they went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the makers of the app lost the right to continue to use that app. So the big network said that's, you know, you're stealing our airwaves, even though they're free. But there was an app that would let you watch television for free that's being transmitted off of places like the top of the Hancock and the Sears Tower. But that was taken away.
But if you had some kind of antenna, I hesitate to use rabbit ears, because do they even make those anymore?
I have those on my television.
You do?
Yeah.
And you can pull.
Because that's how you still get your digital signal.
You can
still. So what's the difference between that and getting it on your phone?
Well, that's the difference is that the mobile portion of it. So Jim's exactly right. They still make rabbit ears, and you can get high definition rabbit ears. So they'll broadcast, you know, live over the air with high definition rabbit ears. So you could technically get your TV for free. And then this app company that was, what they were doing was they were pulling those signals with a pair of rabbit ears, you know, maybe rabbit ears all over the country or something, and they were piping that into a network and then distributing that out through the internet, so you could then, you know, be anywhere with your, as long as you had a cellular connection, and watch, you know, Andy Griffith reruns, you know, on your phone for no charge, basically. I'm not sure if they charged anything, but the kind of like Napster, the big networks were able to win that case in court, saying that they did not have a right to those airwaves.
Right. Through your television, at least they're getting commercial money, and
right.
They're not getting anything on your phone.
The disruption, you know, Jim and you were talking about the privacy and what's been happening to our privacy as a result of these phones, and there's a quid pro quo. I was pulling out of my I'm not sure if Leslie mentioned, but I was pulling out of my driveway today, and my little civil defense siren went off on my phone, and it was an Amber Alert. And I think that's either part of the software that you get with your phone, you opt in or opt out or something, but I've opted in to get these alerts. So I got the Amber Alert on my phone as I'm pulling out of my driveway for a blue Chevy Malibu. with Wisconsin plates, and then I'm driving down to the city, and there that same alert is on the traffic signs over the expressway. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, positive benefits to technology, but there is kind of no hiding from information, so to speak.
All right, and that FM transmitter, the one part goes into the earpiece jack, and then the power goes into your cigarette lighter.
Yeah,
that piece goes into the cigarette lighter.
Right, it's got a small lithium iron battery in it, so it needs to be charged on a regular basis. So you could either keep it charged through your cigarette lighter right back into the unit, or you can you just charge it overnight at your house and not have to charge it continuously. So it will hold a charge for a pretty decent amount of time, I would say at least one show.
This text at 312-521-8600, I got a Samsung Galaxy 4 Android tablet, so now can I listen in my car with that?
Yes. No, depends. And by what I mean by that is when you buy tablets, you either buy tablets with cellular plans or Wi-Fi only. So, like, if you go to Costco, you can buy all kinds of different tablets, but they will not have a cellular plan with them, and they make them specifically with cellular capable internal hardware or not. So if you don't have a cellular plan, that tablet in that person's car still has to get a signal somehow. So if they don't have a signal for their tablet, the tablet could, there'd be no real point in this, but if they had a, for example, my wife can turn her Samsung Galaxy phone into a hotspot and then use her iPad in the car, which is much more comfortable, to surf the net. So the point I'm trying to make with the listener is that they'll still need either a Wi-Fi hotspot in the car or a cellular connection with the tablet. But if you own a tablet, then what they could of course do is download the podcast when they're at home via Wi-Fi and then listen to the podcast in the car off of the tablet. That would certainly be possible.
And this text says the 2015 GMs will use AT&T network.
Yeah, it's not surprising that the big carriers are trying to partner with various the big cell phone carriers are partnering with various car companies. So I think Tesla was trying to make a deal, or did make a deal with Google to run Android software, and so it's not surprising that GM is working with AT&T, and you might see Verizon with Chrysler or something like that.
Okay, and this one, and this is a TSA. It's not TSA agent, right? Is that redundant, like ATM machine?
Oh, yes. No, TSA is...
Yeah, TSA is like Transportation Security Administration
agent. Yeah, so yeah. Agent is
right.
Separate.
I want to make sure, because yes. I hate when people go ATM machine. You just said ATM machine. For the airport, I keep telling passengers to take a screen snapshot of their boarding pass and just call up the photo when they're in line.
Yeah, that's that. You know, again, you want to be redundant and be able to pull that thing up right away. And it's kind of funny. I've gotten through the initial security screening through security, and then you've got to show your boarding pass again when you're getting on the plane. And it's kind of funny when it hasn't pulled up. They just ask me my name, and I tell them, and then they let me on board.
That's nice.
I won't say now what airline that was, but I mean, it's part of the process of getting these things. So I think it's still kind of out there whether or not that you see most people using them. They're all set up for it. I don't think they're going to stop it, but it is frustrating when you can't get that signal. And O'Hare, you need to shut off your Wi-Fi when you get to O'Hare, or else you're not going to get a signal, typically.
312-521-8600. Bob, you're on with Dan.
Hi. This is one of the hobo Bobs. They put me on hold, so it saves me on my megabyte plan. But anyway, my question for you, sir, is the way plans have been going over the years, at first you had to pay, you got unlimited minutes, unlimited text. Do you see a better deal coming for megabytes in the future, unlimited for a certain amount?
Yeah, everything has been getting cheaper, and the carriers have been, they pretty much all fall in line with each other. The biggest change in the recent past was the shared data plan. I had a unlimited data plan, and then I eventually bought a shared data plan, which basically gives me, I've signed up for 10 gigabytes a month, and I use my phone a lot, and that is more than enough for the average user to not go over. I think 1 month I went up to 12 gigabytes. But basically all the carriers have now gone with this shared plan, Or what they will do is you'll have an unlimited plan, and they will actually what we call throttle down your data if you start using too much and the networks are overloaded. So to answer your question, it will continue to get cheaper. And again, that's the quid pro quo where we've got all this disruption. You've got all these big companies like Samsung, AT&T, Verizon, Google. They've made a lot of money, and now they can offer a lot of free things to us. And so you can pretty much go anywhere and get a Wi-Fi signal. You could literally get away with not having a cellular connection and still be in pretty good communication everywhere you go commercially.
All right, Bob?
Yeah, I appreciate it. If you could put me on hold again.
Okay.
Thanks.
Put Bob on hold, will you, please?
He doesn't have those 12 megabits yet.
And that will definitely save him on his data plan.
Okay.
Yeah, I love it. These guys are great to me. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. All right. Can you grab him? Because I can't do it here for some reason. I'm going to go to Master Sculptor Dave Novotny. Hey, Dave.
Gary, I hate to give you I know you got a Verizon guy on, but I hate to give out any Sprint information, but if that's okay with the Verizon guy, I'd like to do that.
Well, I don't work for Verizon, but they're a big, good friend of the show.
But we'll make an exception because you are a friend of the show, David.
You bet. Sprint has got a deal going right now. They'll give you a Samsung Galaxy Tab 3 for free. 2-year contract, $14.99 a month, 4G connection, 1 gigabyte of data. $14.99 a month.
How does that sound, Dan? Are you not? You're not free to talk about that.
Oh, yeah, I can talk about it. And 1 gigabyte of data is not a lot of data. But again, you won't find a lot of variance between the carriers in terms of what they're offering, because obviously they all need to stay competitive, and Sprint. And T-Mobile are kind of the third or fourth players, and so they're trying to do a lot of things to get some traction. But again, the consumer is the beneficiary of all of these things. So really, the more carriers, it's all that antitrust stuff. The more carriers, the better. The more competition, the better for every one of us and what we want to do and buy.
How are the mini crucifixes coming, David?
They're going.
All right.
We're probably looking at Monday, Gary,
okay,
for a pickup on those.
I appreciate it. Thanks, David.
Okay, you bet. Thanks. Bye-bye.
And, Rich, you're on with Dan.
Yeah, hi, Gary and
hey.
Dan. I've got
hi,
a question
Rich.
On my iPhone 4S. When I'm in my car and I have a little Bluetooth device that I bought for an older car, I also bought the FM transmitter, but my iPhone 4 gets super, super hot.
Yeah.
Every time I use it. Is there something to fix that?
No, not really. Lots of every phone. You'll hear occasionally about phones exploding and catching fire.
That happens.
It does. It does. Google it, and you'll see. But they often you'll see a lot of recall sometime on laptops that literally are exploding or burning up. These batteries, these lithium batteries, get very hot with usage. So when you're using your phone and you've got Wi-Fi going or your cellular connection going, the podcast is going, then maybe the navigation, the more it's using its internal system, the hotter it's going to get. And basically the best thing you can do is just try to keep in a cool spot in the car, not keep it on the dash, et cetera, because then it's going to heat up from the sun as well. So they can get very, very hot. But I have not heard of a spontaneously combusting iPhone 4S. Thankfully. But yeah, there's really nothing unusual about that, Rich. It's just part of the process when that phone is firing all cylinders. You might want to try to see if there's a power saving mode or something like that, or shut off things that you're not using while you're listening to the podcast to try to keep the battery from overheating.
All right, Rich?
All right.
Thank
Very
you.
Good. Thank you.
All right. And Dan, what is your website?
I've got my Facebook page. That's, I think, the best way for your listeners to communicate with me. The link will be posted again if Keith can repost my Facebook page from the Gary Meyer Show. I'd be happy to answer any listener questions. And I do have one thing to tease before September. Do we have a minute for that?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so aside from all the Bluetooth talk, one item that I have fallen in love with is my fly grip. I've posted, and Keith has posted it on the Gary Meyer Show Facebook page. I have one on my phone. It basically looks like a money clip on the back of your phone. And what it does is it allows you to use your phone very easily with one hand without dropping it. a lot of your listeners can probably relate to the fact that I'll admit I've dropped my phone on my face when I've been in bed looking at my phone. The phones are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You'll remember there was a SNL episode in the 90s with Will Ferrell where the phones were getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Now it's gone completely the opposite direction. So the Fly Grip is a great device. It also lets your phone stand up on its own, either horizontally or vertically. You really can do anything with one hand. There's even a demo video on their website of guys skydiving, holding their phones with their Fly Grips. And the owner of Fly Grip, Mike, has graciously said he will send us 10 Fly Grips to give away as part of our September segment.
Right.
And I've asked a graphic designer friend of mine at Auslander Creative to provide us with a Gear Force logo for those Fly Grips.
Appreciate
when the
it.
Giveaway time comes.
All right, so you're back on September 2nd.
September 2nd. We'll be back with Verizon.
And to give stuff away on that date. Thank you,
correct.
Dan.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Jim.
312-521-8600. You can text me or call me on that number. G. Meyer. Blue Angels in town. They will be driving up and down. Well, I would say in the past, Rush Street or Division, but now it's Hubbard. Those are the hot spots. With their wings folded up, must be cruising up and down. They're very studly. There's music playing in my headphones. Is there not music playing in your headphones?
Music playing? No.
You can't hear anything?
No. Is it gone now?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
You didn't hear anything?
You know what? My headphones are out.
Oh, great.
So I can't hear anything.
At 5 o'clock, Eric Childress will review the following movies: The Expendables 3, Dinosaur 13, The Giver, and Jackie Robinson West 12. That's the score sheet right there. So there's a slaughter rule, and they exceeded
it.
They had 10 runs more than the opposition, and they won in the fifth inning. Do they usually just play, what, six?
I think, yeah, with this league is six innings, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
So.
I was talking a little bit earlier about India, and everything I know about India I learned from Slumdog Millionaire, and that
was. Well, then you must know everything.
That and that Seinfeld episode,
right,
where they went to the wedding, and I really had made up my mind before those two things, but this really is the confirmation I needed or didn't need, because I already made up my mind. But here it is. Sunita's family in the North Indian village of Munkipur were given their first toilet in February, one of millions being installed by the government to combat disease. She can't remember the last time anyone used it. When nature calls, the 26-year-old single mother and her four children head toward the jungle next to their farm of red and pink roses to a field of tall grass, flecked with petals, where the 7,000 people of her village go to make hard lemonade and exchange gossip.
Well, that's where you do it, right?
That's what they all do. Only Dalits, the lowest Hindu caste, should be exposed to excrement in a closed space, or city dwellers who don't have space to go in the open, she said, as she washed clothes next to the concrete latrine. Feces don't belong under the same roof as where we eat and sleep. What's the year we're in here? Sunita's
are we the only civilization on the earth?
Country? Sunita's view reveals one of Prime Minister Narendra Modi's biggest challenges in combating the world's biggest sanitation problem, one that costs India 600,000 lives annually from diarrhea and exposes a third of the nation's women to the risk of rape or sexual assault. With no toilets for half the population, Modi promised to build 5.3 million latrines by the end of his first 100 days in office. And I promise,
a toilet in every pot.
Right. A pot in every house. Who was the president who said a chicken in every pot?
Chicken in every
pot. That was his slogan.
In every pot, right.
This is something similar. A pot
the PN, and other things.
So that's all it takes to win there.
When they install the toilet, then they don't use them. So what, it's like your ping pong table in your basement, you just put laundry on top of it, store things in it. What are you doing with it?
Oh, I hear India.
Well, that scene, again, in Slumdog Millionaire, where that kid is underneath that platform, and he's just getting rained down on with waste.
I just don't.
That's what it is. There's something about going inside that they think is heebie-jeebie.
Oh.
While villagers remain ignorant of the dangers, about 100,000 tons of their excrement heads to markets every day on fruit and vegetables. Every gram of feces in an open field contains 10 million viruses, 1 million bacteria, and 1,000 parasite cysts.
So where do they keep the Purell?
About 800,000 Indians worked as, get this, listen to this, as feces removers in 08, often carrying excrement in baskets on their heads, an occupation that causes them to be excluded from parts of society.
You can't find a good basket, a balancer, when you carry the water on top of your head or whatever that is?
Some rural residents are constructing their own latrines. In Sonda, a village of about 6,000 people, 30 miles northeast of New Delhi, 70-year-old Hemraj Kumar sits on a cot near his new 12,000-rupee porcelain toilet. My son built it for me, he said.
Now that's some rupees.
Wearing a tattered white shirt as cows tethered to trees defecated in the space between him and the concrete cubicle. It's because I can't walk all the way out into the fields. So he got me this fakaka, and that's what it is, latrine. Otherwise, I'd walk out into the field. I like how they say they go out there to have their movement and gossip as they're sitting in the weeds.
Well, what are you supposed to do out there?
That's true.
You want to talk about embarrassing. So we're in St. Petersburg, and we're on this tour bus, and it's 7 in the morning, and there's this young guy and his brother, he's probably in his mid-20s, and we're driving out about an hour to go to some spot, and all of a sudden this guy raises his hand, and there's about 40 people on the bus, and he goes, Ludwina, are we going to make a stop? And she's like, well, no, we've got a place to be, you know, in an hour. And he goes, well, I really need a bathroom break. And she says, well, can't you hold it? Now, this is all going on,
yeah,
this conversation,
hearing it
on the microphone.
Oh,
she's
great.
Got the microphone. Yeah.
You can't hold it?
Yeah. She goes, can you hold it? And so he's screaming, no. So this poor guy. So he goes, can't you stop at a gas station or something? And she's like, well, we'll see. So now we keep driving, and now it's about 15 minutes later, and he goes, I really need a stop. I really need a stop. So now there's a couple of gas stations, and you figure this bus driver's going to pull in. He doesn't. He pulls into a park, like a little parking lot, like a forest preserve, stops the bus, and the poor guy has to go out into the woods.
Why wouldn't he stop at a gas station?
I don't know. So now this poor, I felt so sorry for him because he walks into the woods and gets deep in there so we can't see him. The bus driver turns the bus to the side so we can't watch. And 10 minutes later, he comes walking out.
Great.
Now, I don't know if he did any gossip, but he certainly had to do his business.
I hate that.
Oh, man.
That's why you got to time all this stuff out.
And, of course, when he
goes... No solids 36 hours before a long ride like that. Doesn't he know that?
And when he came on the bus, of course, I went...
Great.
I started a little clap for him.
Great.
I felt so sorry for the guy.
Yeah, sure you did. Let's all cheer for the guy who had to go out into the woods.
And, and the thing is, too, it's like it's a young guy. You know, it's like he's worried about his image. He had his hair all... with product
sure,
in it.
He probably had a big pancake breakfast.
Yeah, right off the ship.
And then decides he can hold it for an hour on the bus.
And you could hear in his voice, this was major business.
I don't know how he made it to 15 minutes. Once you do that, I've got to stop. Right. You've got about a 6-minute window there.
I don't know how he held it exactly. But boy, and then it was so sad because, of course, when they dropped him off, he's walking away into this in these woods, and we're seeing him walk, and you could see he's walking like he's got a saddle. You know, he's like his legs are wide apart.
Oh.
I really got to stop.
Can't you hold it? This woman has to be on the microphone.
Everybody.
I would have walked up to the front there and just kind of whispered in her ear, but that's me.
Aren't we going to make a stop anywhere? No, we've got
really,
to be there.
Really, you can't hold it? All these people are going to have to be inconvenienced because of you.
And then, so then, you know, these are these big buses, these big tour buses, so they usually have a bathroom, you know, there.
That reminds me of a time where I visit a friend of mine up in Madison, and we go to lunch, right? And I'm going to drive back down after.
And that's a good ride, Madison.
Okay. So now I'm right past O'Hare and thinking,
uh-oh.
I got the 20-minute warning.
Can't make it.
I got the 20-minute warning. Then I get on the Kennedy, and it's rush hour.
Oh.
So it's just crawling. And now I'm thinking there's no way, because you try to think I can make it home, but there's no way. So now I take an exit, pull into a gas station, and that's your last resort, gas station bathroom for big business.
Right.
And I did, but you don't care.
No.
You're just glad to have it.
Did you just grab the key?
Grab the key.
Run in.
Went in and looked for the gaskets and all that stuff, the best you can do. But I hate that feeling when I think, there's no way.
It's the worst.
There's no way. Why did I have to have the big lunch and then decide to drive home?
I was on 294 one time coming from a friend who lives.
You know what you sound like there? Robert Shaw in Jaws.
We went
to deliver the bomb.
Delivered the
big bomb.
I was on 294 coming north, and it was like, I think my friend lived at this time somewhere near, I don't know, somewhere in some suburb, I can't remember, on the southwest side. But anyway, so I'm driving, and there is no exit on 294 for a long time.
Till you get through another basket.
And so I am dying. I am dying. And now I'm going to have to pull over and just go in the car or on the side of the road, because we're at ground zero. I get to an exit near my home, and now I'm thinking I might be able to make it. I think I can make it, and then I hit a stoplight.
Yeah, that's it. You have it all mapped out.
I literally, there was a condo complex. It was 1 a.m. My wife was with me.
Oh, no. Stop before you kill again.
I got out of the car, ran by a tree.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And had to get back in the car, and I had a long coat on.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
What kind of God would make us do this?
I know. I think
this
about that.
This is really terrible.
Why do we have to do that?
I want an operation. Is that doctor doing that David Hochberg knows? Maybe he can reconfigure
the plastic surgeon do something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, why is this idea of in and out?
Just wrong.
Because think how different our lives would be.
Oh, yeah.
Like in this case, no bathroom in the house.
I could enjoy a sloppy Joe at a ball game.
And not even... You'd have what? No, what is it? How many hours? 36?
36.
No 36 solid rule.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous. But man, and then the worst part is your body somehow knows. That's why I was asking, when you got to the bathroom at the place... Once you grab that key, then weren't you in?
Now it's right. Everything's evacuating. Now you're at launch.
Like 20 minutes ago, you're in the car and your body knew you couldn't go.
Once your body knows that you're close, it's gonna go. Okay, everything's relaxed now. No, not yet. And then you can't get the key in the door because you're shaking.
That's what I was wondering. Like, did you just grab that key and run? Because at that point, when you know it's time that you now can go.
Once you know, yeah.
The body somehow says, okay.
I had that issue in California with just number one, where I really had to go, and we're on the freeway, and I didn't know where to get off or anything because we're all over the place here. I don't know these streets. And now my stomach is hurting.
Oh.
So then we finally get off. I find a restaurant, and I run up, and there are three people before me waiting to get in the bathroom. So now, I mean, you're just really doubled over almost. It's so bad. It's just wrong. I don't know why we're designed like this.
Wow.
It's not right.
I don't even know how the body knows that, though. But how does it know?
I was thinking that the other day. Think about how well conditioned the body is as far as if you didn't have any sign, you have a sign.
At least there's some kind of
right. Otherwise,
attention.
It'd be, what a mess every day. But there's a warning, which is, that's ingenious.
I mean, it does. I mean, it's a shame it has to work like it does, but it works
You get a warning.
Within the process that it has created.
You get a warning. That's the great thing about it.
Oh, and at least the number one, I think you can hold longer.
Yeah.
But that number two, there is a point of no return.
That's just wrong.
Yeah, there is a point of no return. But this poor kid, I felt sorry for him, even though I had to.
I like to have a cup of coffee in the morning, but when we fly, I can't have a cup of coffee because I don't want to chance it. I don't want to have the cup of coffee, then get on the plane.
Not even a cup of coffee.
No.
Wow.
I'm so bizarre about that.
Oh, man.
I can't have a good cup of coffee.
Well, this flight.
That's why on the plane, when they go offer you a drink.
Do you take it?
Tomato juice.
For some reason doesn't.
That seems fine.
It doesn't make
seems
you go.
Fine. It does. I don't know why, but I've narrowed it down to tomato juice. Can't have any Coke. Can't have any coffee.
Water.
Any of that stuff. Maybe water and tomato juice.
Tomato juice.
Yeah, because if you go into orange juice and stuff, then you're asking
tomato
for trouble.
Tomato juice has that acid.
Yeah.
Although
doesn't do it for me.
No. Well. So this flight to Copenhagen or to Amsterdam and Copenhagen is like 8 hours. And so I was at the window, my wife was in the middle, and there was a guy at the end. And so I really had to go, but I didn't want to go because the guy was sleeping, you know.
That's why I always get an aisle seat.
Well, I didn't have a choice.
Right, but I have to have the aisle.
So about 2 hours later, and I've been waiting for 2 hours, and I'm trying to think of stuff.
And this is in the middle of The Wolf of Wall Street?
Yes, it really was. Yeah. And I'm
that's,
trying
what,
to
3 hours?
Yeah, it's a 3-hour movie, and I'm trying to think of stuff. Like to get my mind off of this, and I see him get up. So I go to my wife, and she says, "Oh, I gotta go." So we were all waiting for him to get up. So the three, our whole row was gone.
I'm not gonna wait for anybody. I'm just gonna get up.
Our row was gone. I was in there. My wife was going, "What were you doing?" I said, "This was a 5-hour. I haven't gone since we were."
No, that's tough.
That's what's nice about the aisle. You can just get up.
Listen to this text. And this, if you've been listening all week, this will be funnier than if you just tuned in today for the first time this week. I don't have a colon. Way to relate to your listeners, guys.
Great line. Great line. Well, now everybody can relate to this story, I'm sure.
312-521-8600. Keep it clean, Jimmy.
Hey, what's up, Gary?
Talk to me.
I'm a truck driver. I've been driving a truck in the city since 87, so I'm in a moving vehicle all the time, so I could talk to you all day if you want a story. But I'll give you a good one, and I'll give you a solution. I was going up the Edens in the morning one time, snarling traffic, and I had a breakfast miscarriage that came upon very quickly.
Do you have one of those sleeper cabs?
No, this is local. I'm not over the road. It's local, you know.
Okay.
Just the collars, you know, the counties around.
Let me ask you, those sleeper cabs, do they have a bathroom in there?
I think there's some type of, like you have on a boat, you know. Something like that. But I'm local, so it's nothing like that. But this miscarriage came in quickly, and I was in panic mode, so the only thing I could do was pull under the viaduct at Dempster.
And,
because there's a curve.
Dumpster.
There's a curve there, so I angled the truck where oncoming traffic would not be able to see. I did not have a choice. I had to work the rest of the day, so that had, that had to
well, at least you got a big truck. Right. Those of us with small cars, we can't do anything.
Well, here's the solution. I learned my lesson the hard way. I keep a 5-gallon bucket in the truck. Got a liner in there, and if there's an emergency, it can't be in my pants. I got to work for it.
That's right. Man's got to work.
Man got to work, so you got to do what you got to do. But yeah, that's you can have a Pringles can for number one, and keep a bucket in the trunk for number two.
Nice, nice. That's more sophisticated than India.
You ain't kidding.
All right, Jim. Thank you.
All right, nice checking in with you. Take care, guys.
All right.
Well, I've had water bottles in the car, thankfully, that I've had to use.
Sure. I think most of us have had to, at the last resort, do that.
But couldn't the body work without
Why?
The elimination?
What is the, what is the point of all this? Why did you design us like this?
But every, I mean, doesn't every animal do that? Even an insect? I mean,
everything that breathes does.
So what can we expect? We're no better than them.
We're no better than animals. We're savages. We go to the bathroom like animals.
Let us lose our souls.
Leslie?
Hi, Gary.
Did you hear our poop talk?
No. Oh, doggone it.
That,
I missed that, poop
now,
talk?
Wait a minute. There was a reason why that started.
Sure, I'm sure it was scientific, right?
India's toilet race failing as villages don't use them.
Because they think that it means you're going potty inside
right,
the house.
Right,
yeah, I saw that story. That whole flushing thing, they need to spend a little bit more time focusing on that.
They don't want some. A lot of these people don't think it's good to go to the bathroom where you eat and sleep.
Well, think about it, though.
But it's going away.
I
See,
know,
I mean,
but,
we have to get that whole concept of it's not staying here, it's going away.
But then he was reading all these statistics about how there's all this fecal matter on all their food.
Well, because, right, if you go with the tonnage and then it's on their vegetables and then that gets fed and then they get sick. 600,000 lives annually.
Just from poor sanitation.
Yes.
Well, because let's face it, you also, when you half burn a body, shouldn't throw it into the water where everybody bathes and does their religious rituals. Because people are still throwing half-burned bodies into the Ganges. It's not a real smart idea.
As far as Ebola goes, on the front of the New York Times this week, they had a picture of this guy in Sierra Leone, one of the affected communities, Liberia or whatever.
Yeah.
And the caption was, this guy has lost a child and three of his wives to Ebola. I'm thinking, how many does he have?
The other six he's worried about.
Yeah. Okay. I thought that was an odd
person
to highlight.
Was he super hot looking?
Oh, you could see why this guy was nabbing him.